It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, snowy owls are popping up all over the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to an expert from the Department of Natural Resources about why they're here and where we can see them.
First, we've been hearing more news about the shootings yesterday in Paris that killed 12 staff members of a satirical weekly paper. Apart from the tragedy of the attack itself, the concerns about terrorism in the West, there's also been a lot of talk in the last day about the impact of this kind of attack on journalism and free expression.
Here's Secretary of State John Kerry responding yesterday to those attacks.
They may wield weapons, but we in France and in the United States share a commitment to those who wield something that is far more powerful. Not just a pen, but a pen that represents an instrument of freedom, not fear. Free expression and a free press are core values. They are universal values, principles that can be attacked but never eradicated.
Courtney Radge joins us now. She's Advocacy Director of the Committee to Protect Journalists. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So working there on a committee involved in protecting the rights, the freedoms, and the lives of journalists, what went through your mind when you first heard about this attack at the Charlie Hebdo offices yesterday?
It was just so devastating. I actually was living in Paris last year, just a couple blocks down the road, and I just couldn't help thinking what a horrific way to start 2015. You know, last year was one of the most dangerous years on record for journalists, with record numbers killed and imprisoned. The past 3 years have been the deadliest ever since we started keeping records. And I just couldn't believe that in France, which has only had one journalist killed since we started keeping records, there was such a massacre.
And the attack, we don't know all the motives of the attackers, but it's been widely viewed as an attempt to intimidate people, writers, journalists, into avoiding certain kinds of expression. Do you see it that way?
Without a doubt, I think this is a form of intimidation. It's an attempt at intimidation by gunmen trying to make editorial decisions that should obviously be left up to editors and to journalists and not to masked armed gunmen.
And we just heard Secretary of State Kerry say freedom of expression is a universal core value, but how widely is that value really shared in places where journalists have to do their work around the world?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I mean, yes, technically it is a universal Declaration of Human Rights, Article 19, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. But the fact is that it's something that journalists and people around the world are having to fight for every day. We see that, you know, legal structures around the world restrict freedom of expression. The historic levels of imprisoning journalists, there were more than 220 journalists imprisoned last year, which is the second highest year on record. So clearly that's a clampdown on free expression. And I think that in many cases, the idea that expression and press freedom only apply when it's not insulting or when it's not difficult speech is a real misunderstanding of the right. There is actually no right not to be insulted.
Now, you mentioned lots of journalist deaths over 2014 and the years before. As I would understand it, this would often be a journalist who's out in the field doing work. This attack, taking it to an office where the whole staff is that uncommon?
That's a good question. You know, we track pretty specific statistics. I'd have to go through to actually see how many were in the offices. In terms of mass slayings, this is the worst attack on journalists since 2009, when 30 journalists and 2 media workers, along with others, were massacred on their way to during an election coverage event in the Philippines. So, you know, we know that it's usually local journalists who are covering issues of local importance or commenting on issues in their own countries are the ones who are targeted. And in fact, most journalists killed are deliberately targeted with murder in reprisal for what they wrote or what they said. Many journalists, unfortunately, are killed at their offices, as they're leaving or arriving or leaving home to go to their offices. But I don't have specific information about how many are killed in an attack like this. But without doubt, this is a brazen, unusual attack in terms of this nature, although the type of attack in terms of the threat, the fact that these journalists and the media outlet were threatened before they were murdered. We know that the offices were firebombed in 2011, and there have been threats and security as a response to that. In fact, many journalists who are murdered received threats before.
Now, we're paying a lot of attention to this attack in the United States, in part because of the scale, in part because of the freedom of expression issue, in part probably because they were in the capital of a Western nation. Do we pay enough attention to attacks on journalists or the rest of the year and the rest of the world?
Well, we do. You know, the Committee to Protect Journalists actually focuses, I mean, that's why we were founded, and really is to bring awareness to journalists around the world who put their lives on the line. I think there's a natural tendency, you know, globally to focus on those big stories. And, you know, many global media outlets are based in the West, and so they have a natural inclination to cover the stories that are relevant to them. And that's why we see, you know, the brutal murder of, you know, James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, the attention being paid to the Al Jazeera journalists who are in prison in Egypt. And, of course, these barbaric murders getting so much attention. But I think it's important to note that actually the vast majority of journalists who are killed are local journalists. Syria has been the most deadly country on record for the past couple of years, and it was Iraq before that. And, you know, in most cases, they're local journalists who will probably never get coverage in the global media. And that's one thing that we try to do through our daily coverage of attacks on journalists. We have essentially a bio on each journalist who has been killed on our website so that they don't go, you know, killed and they aren't forgotten, so we can remember their names and pictures when possible and the details about who they were and what they sacrificed to bring us the news or comment on public interest affairs.
There's a lot of gloom and doom in journalism on the economic side of things these days, the political harassment you've mentioned, the shootings that you're talking about. Does this discourage, you think, the next generation of would-be journalists? And how do you persuade people that this is a profession worth doing, worth taking these risks?
You know, I think that's a great question. Yes, of course there will be some intimidation and some people will be scared, but what myself personally as a journalist and what I hear from journalists around the world is there are these driven people. There are the people who are running towards wherever the crowd is running against because they want to find out what's happening. So, you know, I don't think that this will deter people. I think it will certainly result in, you know, increased security measures and certainly increased discussions about publishing choices. But I think that people who are driven to journalism want to tell the stories. They want to be on the front lines. They want to be involved in, you know, the issues of our day. And so I don't think that, I hope it won't have a deterring effect on the profession.
As tragic as the shootings are, there's been a worldwide reaction from political leaders, from journalists. There's the Je suis Charlie responses in the online world. Are you encouraged by the show of solidarity for the people who died in these shootings?
I am. I think that it's a global show of solidarity. And, I mean, the cartoons that have come out in support of these, of their dead colleagues, they are just so inspiring, and they capture in so few words and just a few pen strokes such, you know, important ideas. And I think that, you know, from the vigils that we've seen around the world, the vast numbers of people sharing on social media and expressing their support for them is really important, and it's heartfelt. What we need to see is that, that the support translates into actual support on the ground. You know, too many countries around the world have laws in place that make it more dangerous for journalists to work and create an environment that puts journalists at risk. So, you know, if you have blasphemy laws that are punishable by the death penalty or criminal defamation laws that can put journalists in jail for, you know, decades, this creates an environment of fear. And I think another important issue is, you know, around the world, journalists are murdered with impunity. 9 out of 10 killers of journalists are never brought to justice. And so that's another thing I hope that we see this you know, expression of solidarity translate into a real expression of solidarity by tracking down the killers of and murderers of journalists around the world.
Courtney, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Courtney Raj, Advocacy Director for the Committee to Protect Journalists.